It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Can you see me now?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. We've all complained about our cable service from time to time. Some people think there needs to be more competition. I guess the FCC agrees. Yesterday, it voted 3-2 to allow more companies like AT&T or Verizon to bring you HBO or Lifetime. But local governments will have to move more quickly on applications from potential new cable providers. Local officials also won't be able to make those providers agree to certain conditions to get those licenses. Being a tattletale could mean big bucks for both you and the IRS. Yesterday, President Bush signed a new measure into law. It makes blowing the whistle on tax cheaters more profitable and easier to boot. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says tax experts think the law's a winner.
Big cheaters who owe the government at least $2 million are the primary targets of the law. Washington tax attorney Erica Kelton says unleashing whistleblowers on that group should pay off handsomely.
I expect revenues from tax evasion are going to increase into the billions over 10 years.
Whistleblowers will benefit handsomely, too. Under the new law, they can take home up to 30% of what the government recovers. San Francisco tax attorney Paul Scott says incentives this good should produce a whole new class of whistleblowers.
With the provisions that they have now, people with quality information who have something to risk, those folks are now going to be thinking seriously about coming forward.
The Internal Revenue Service has been slow to crack down on tax fraud, even though the price tag is about $290 billion a year. But Erica Kelton predicts the new law will turn up so much cash that it will change the way the IRS thinks. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Iran is admitting its energy industry is suffering as a result of its nuclear standoff with the West. In a statement, Iran's oil minister confirmed that investment in the country's oil and gas projects has declined. From the Marketplace European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
This could be a small but significant straw in the wind. In a rare statement, the Iranian oil minister admitted that overseas banks have cut their cooperation with Iran. The reasons are not hard to fathom. The UN may not have imposed any formal sanctions on the country, but the US has been active behind the scenes, pressuring European banks to curb their business with Tehran. This is clearly taking its toll, says Neil Partrick of the Economist Intelligence Unit.
A number of Western banks who've been involved have been less active in the last couple of years. And I think that's the kind of context in which Iranian officials are starting to feel a bit uneasy. And also, of course, they're concerned that there may be more sanctions of a more substantive kind down the line.
Iran is reckoned to need $80 billion to pay for its oil production plans and $83 billion for natural gas projects. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here's a story that might make you go, Monica Lewinsky has graduated from the London School of Economics. She earned a Bachelor's of Science in Social Psychology. Her thesis was entitled In Search of the Impartial Juror, an exploration of the third-person effect in pretrial publicity. Well, it's 4 days to Christmas. Everyone's got their minds on something else. Apparently, so did investors on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow slipped 7 points to 12,463. The Nasdaq basically flat, tipping backwards a point. It's at 2447. And the S&P not much different. It tipped back 2 points to 1423. This is Marketplace. Welcome to the biggest travel day of the year. The airline industry thinks 4.5 million people will take to the air between today and tomorrow. That's an increase of almost 2.5% over last year. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports on what a difference 12 months can make.
Last year, airlines lost $5.7 billion. This year, the industry expects to make as much as $3 billion in profits. It'll be the first time in 5 years airlines are in the black. This holiday season is icing on the cake. Prices are up, planes are more crowded, and more people are flying. George Hamlin's an airline expert at Morton, Bayer, and Agnew.
The airline industry is returning to health in a profitability sense. There seems to be less concern about some of the security features that were driving people away for a while. The fact that traffic overall is up is a good sign.
The Air Transport Association predicts an even better 2007. profits are expected to soar to $4 billion. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. What is going on in the NBA and the NFL? You've probably seen the video of that brawl at Saturday night's game at Madison Square Garden between the New York Knicks and the Denver Nuggets. Seven players are suspended. $1 million in fines have been levied. In the NFL, three dozen players have been arrested this year on charges ranging from disorderly conduct to felony burglary. How will all of this affect the bottom line of both leagues, if at all? David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. I asked him about the economic impact for the NBA.
Well, I think with all this that's going on, it's disappointing, but not that surprising. And I think because it comes as a little surprise, the economic fallout in the short run might be somewhat limited. But I think the extent of the financial damage in the long run is going to be a function of just how much leadership David Stern, commissioner of the NBA, demonstrates, especially when he's out there talking to sponsors, when he's working with the TV networks and others. And if he can assuage their concerns and their fears about what's going on with the league, then the damage will be mitigated. But if not, if they're not satisfied by this over time, not in days or weeks, but over time, maybe a season or so, then you may see the real financial impact hit the NBA.
Now, you've got teams that are affected by fines financially, but you also have teams that are affected when they have star players who are sitting out for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's one of the real delicate issues that I think sports faces is, do you sit these people down that are running afoul of the law, that are breaking rules and regulations within the leagues, and run the risk of not having fans tune in?
What's your sense of where the fans and players unions are on this?
Well, I actually think both the fans and the players' associations are complicit in this. The fans don't tend to curtail their consumption at all. And I think the unions are also part of the problem. And when I say that they're part of the problem, it's not because they should not be collectively bargaining on behalf of the athletes. And it's not because the players they represent don't have rights. But more so that the league is always trying to improve cash flow, build franchise value, make more money for everybody involved. And yet you always see one party get involved and say, wait a minute, we really don't like this. We're going to fight this vigorously. And it tends to be the union.
Is there a different standard for football? I mean, you know, the Raiders have always had the rep of being big and bad, and that doesn't seem to hurt them financially.
No, I actually think it has harmed the Raiders. I mean, their reputation has done precious little to generate any kind of corporate support. Their record, you know, they're 2-12, I guess, so far this season. You combine winning with their reputation right now, and it's not one that really drives that kind of franchise value that we've spoken about many times on this show. But in terms of there being a different standard, I think the proximity of the NBA players to their fans, literally being so close and being courtside, the fact that they're not encumbered by helmets and heavy uniforms and that sort of thing as their NFL counterparts are, all create this level of intimacy, this in-your-face attitude, this animated style that I think creates the perception that there might be a double standard, because we think we know these NBA players perhaps better than we know the NFL ball players.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
David Carter is executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
If you're looking for a job, you're...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.